All right. Well, this evening, I am blessed to have the Vintager with us here this afternoon. He has got another vintage recipe, but before we get to the vintage recipe, let's just talk about what's happening out there in the world. How you doing, political man Jeff Eller? How you doing today?
I'm not political man today.
You're not? Okay.
Okay.
How you doing on opinionated man?
Okay, I can hold that one.
Hold that one. So, how's it going?
Not too great. I'm just amazed at the stupidity of people that say it's okay to sacrifice the economy if you save one person.
That's pretty... That's a hard one. That's a very, very hard one.
No, because if the economy tanks, then you got all poor people. You'd have the depression type of thing where only one in 500 and something saw a doctor. I mean, the insurance companies would fold. The medical system would crash. We would have nothing of the American culture or society.
Well, I think it is pretty scary, and the more that we look at how this is coming together, and then on the other side, this is the thing that just blows my mind, is they're laying off medical people in the hospitals and whatnot, and even administrative people. I mean, you're hearing this all up and down the East Coast, I know of, because we hear that in the news, and even right here in Greenwood, they have laid people off of self.
Well, basically, it was the practices that they bought up that they first been dropping people off from, but administrative people, yeah, they're way down.
So, I think that that should give us pause, and I think there's one thing that I have heard, that I've heard it repeated on the national level, that the one thing we didn't want to do and why we stopped a whole economy was not about the deaths, but we didn't want to overload our medical system.
They didn't want to crash the medical system. Well, they have achieved that. I think we should move on from that. That goal's been achieved.
Right. Well, we did not overload the
medical system. In one area, the system was overloaded, but now it's worked out to where they've got a pretty good handle on it. I will give Governor Cuomo a big pat on the back. He made some mistakes? Sure. Made some big ones? Sure. Made some big choices that worked? Sure. Have people cooperate? Not so much in the beginning, but now they do. Even de Blasio has come around to Cuomo's thinking.
Well, yes,
you know, there are people that can make decisions and people that need decisions made for them. And de Blasio is one of these people that need decisions made for him, and Cuomo stepped up.
Well, he did. And I think, you know, the other thing that I've heard, you know, we've heard all this conversation about social distancing and maintaining our distance, wearing masks, cleaning our hands, all this kind of stuff. They said the one thing that probably has influenced people more than anything else is what has happened in New York with the amount of deaths and everything being the epicenter. And the other thing is the part of the economy that they want to get started back up. Do you really think that people are going to be going out shopping and hanging out in groups and going to sporting and social events the way we were? They say that the studies show that that's not going to happen until there's a vaccine or something that proves that it is safe to be out there.
Well, here's my reaction. Until NASCAR, NFL, Major League Baseball says, let's fill the stands, it's still a problem.
Yeah.
And even when they say that...
Will the public go out?
No. You remember when 9/11 went through here?
Yes, I remember 9/11.
Yeah, we were doing trade shows.
Mm-hmm.
We went to a show in Miami that usually had somewhere between 40 and 60,000 people a day to go through.
Yep.
And the first day we did it, 1,000 people went through, and there was over 1,000 dealers.
And that was in October of that year.
Right.
That was in October of that
year. And we could go to any of the 4-star restaurants on South Beach and walk right in.
Yep.
Matter of fact, they came out to the sidewalk.
Hauled you off the street.
And hauled you off the street. We were standing there looking at a menu, and here comes the maitre d'. Wait.
Please, come in. Sit down.
Come in. Yeah. Sit down. And they see us at probably the best table in the house.
And I remember they valet parked your car for free.
Right.
Valet parked your car for free, which they don't do in Miami Beach, folks. Yep.
Well,
come back the next year.
Next year, we couldn't even get a reservation.
And we told people how we went there, and they went, nah, you didn't go there.
you may have went somewhere else. You didn't go there.
Yeah.
It was a great meal.
Yes, it was. But I think that is part of the problem, is that people's habits are going to be very much changed.
Well, especially the eat-out crowd basically is above 55 years of age.
Yes, I've written a song about it.
I know.
Would you like to hear my song?
I would.
You would? Well, I could debut it today, or I could wait and debut it tomorrow.
Let's debut it tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay, so you have to tune in tomorrow. My song is, I long for the restaurant table where they bring me coffee and tea. And it's got many verses that are quite appropriate, don't you agree?
Well, the gals I walk with in the morning, which are all of a certain maturity, they all could jump right in on that.
Yep.
They missed that table.
Yep. You miss the table. You miss seeing people. You know, in the song, I talk about the different views from the different decor and the different menus.
They were telling somebody's birthday party was supposed to be at Pascal's, and they were just lamenting that they weren't going to have it because they were going to have lamb chops with the little mint and all the whole deal. And I'm standing there salivating.
Yeah. And Easter is going to definitely be different for a lot of people this year.
Oh, my God, yes.
And on top of that, what my hope had been is that it would have been a beautiful day and people could have gathered outside and had picnics, you know, and at least had social distancing and all this.
But the macaroni salads, the whole thing.
Yes, but it looks like it is going to rain, 100% chance of rain, and heavy rain.
And heavy rain and 30-mile-an-hour winds.
So that's not going to happen.
However, we do have our menu for today.
Oh, we have a menu. And this is a vintage recipe brought to you by the Vintager himself. So would you like to share your recipe, Vintager?
Well, I would.
Well, what is the recipe? I don't even know, folks. What is the recipe of the day?
The recipe of the day is the... Have you ever had the Campbell's bean soup?
Oh, yeah. Bacon and bean or just
bacon
bean?
Bacon and bean.
Bacon and bean, yep.
This was the forerunner.
Okay.
Now, you can make it Campbell's bacon and bean if you want.
Okay.
It's one of these soups that once you learn the basics of it, you can use it for a variety of different applications. One of the things was that in Eastern Shore, Delaware, it was considered an Eastern Shore soup. And it was a staple almost in any restaurant back then. And we're talking about the 1940s, 50s, all the way up to the 60s. And basically, it was called that, or it was called Dutch bean. And that was the reason was that we had a large contingent of Mennonite people that lived in the area, and that was one of their staple foods. I'll just give you an outline of it. We're going to have it up on Facebook to where you can actually copy it. This is a recipe that you don't have to be exact on.
You don't have to be exact. Okay, that's good.
You can be creative on everything except one thing in it.
Okay.
You know what the one thing is?
The beans?
No, you gotta have big enough pot.
Big pot, okay, the big pot.
I mean, people don't seem to realize that when you're cooking something like this, you don't want it filled to the brim to start cooking it.
Okay, but before you start, we do have to say that you had several comments about your succotash. What did you make the other day? Was it succotash?
Yeah, Eastern Shore succotash.
And how you had several people that call and say that they had used corn cobs in the past, and then you had some people that went right out and tried it and said it was delicious.
Yep.
So that
made me feel good.
Yep, it did. So I just wanted to say that your recipe from the other day, the succotash recipe, which we did not get posted on Facebook, was very successful. So, but we'll be putting it up again. So what else? Now, vintage recipes.
All right. On this one, show you the variety they could use. You could go out and get a pound or a pound and a quarter of navy, Great Northern, or black-eyed peas.
These are dried?
Dried.
Maybe hard to find right now, but persist in searching, yes.
I'm told that Aldi and Lidl have them.
Okay, great, great.
All right, now, you know, use 2 quarts of water. That don't mean you get a pot that holds 2 quarts. You get a pot up there that can hold 3 or 4.
Okay.
Because it starts with 2 quarts of water and the volume gets larger as it cooks.
Well, those beans, yep.
Get a 1 pound ham hock. You can get a pound and a quarter, but get the ham hock. And there's no problem with those either, especially, I'm told, in the south part of the town. And you're going to cook that ham hock for 2 to 2.5 hours.
Ham hocks, I'm not sure you can find them at Publix, but most other shows.
Most other places. Actually,
yep.
If you got a supermarket that caters to the ethnic groups,
yep,
black or Mexican,
yes,
you don't have ham hocks.
Yep. Okay.
Okay, and then you want it on medium high. You don't want it boiling away. If it's boiling, it's too hot.
Okay.
Now, I don't know how your stove works or even...
You want a rolling boil or no boil at all?
No boil at all.
No boil at all.
I mean, it can bubble every once in a great while, but no rolling, boiling thing. A ham hock is already cooked.
Mm-hmm.
It's just cooking again.
Okay.
And you're getting the taste out into the water. You're making stock.
You just put the ham hock in. Is that right?
You just put the ham hock. That's the only thing you have in there.
Okay.
And you're going to do it for 2 to 2.5 hours. It don't mean you stand there and look at it. It means that you can put it on, forget it for a couple hours. And when you get back to it and you stick a fork in it and you can pull a piece of the meat out, then it's ready.
Okay.
Next thing, I like a little onion taste in mine. So you chop a medium onion,
mm-hmm,
and you brown it in butter.
In a separate pan.
In a separate pan, a little saucepan.
Okay.
And use a good gob of butter to brown it in. And then you pour the whole thing into the your pot.
With the ham hock.
Yeah, with the ham hock.
You leave the ham hock in there?
Yes.
Okay.
At this point, you're leaving the ham hock in there. And then I like to chop up some sweet carrots. And somebody said, what's a sweet carrot? Well, as a carrot gets larger, it doesn't improve in taste. That'd be the carrots that are about finger size, the largest. And you would use, half a cup. Half a cup of more and do it. Some people like a little shaving potatoes in here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it with the carrots this time. But you can change it.
But you chop the carrots.
Right.
Okay.
And then you cook until you get, not soft, but your beans are in there at this point. And you don't want them soft, but you don't want them hard either.
How long are you talking about, roughly?
That first 2 hours.
Okay.
Okay. And you know, to get them kind of thick, you need to pay attention to stirring them. Because if it's black-eyed peas or Great Northern, they'll kind of stick together if you don't watch it. All right, then you take out your ham hock at this point, before they're finished, and cut it up.
Before the beans are finished?
Right.
Okay, I'm just trying to follow.
So there. Now it's in little pieces.
Okay.
Goes back in. You got about 2 hours more.
This sounds like an all-day process here.
Well, it's an all-day process cooking.
Right.
It's not all-day process prep or anything else. It's one of those things that your pot, if possible, should have a lid on it. So it won't steam up the whole house. But you need to check the water from time to time to make sure you got enough water in the pot. All right, now, after you've put you have the beans in, you have your ham hock, you have everything in.
The carrot.
Carrots.
If you want it.
You have probably 3 hours into the operation. For the last 15 minutes or so, you put your spices in.
What kind of spices, Vintager?
Salt and pepper is your basic ones.
Okay.
I mean, some people use Italian spices. That's fine. But you can use the same ideal cooking with the same base for Great Northern, black-eyed peas, and, of course, your navy beans.
Now, is this navy bean soup the one that's like the senator's navy bean soup at Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, it would be pretty close.
Okay.
I think it might even be the same, but they make it thicker. Way you can make it thicker is just take and mash the beans a little bit. That doesn't mean you mash them like mashed potatoes. That just means you stir them vigorously or you take a potato masher and just gently mash them.
So that not all of them get mashed, but some of them get mashed.
Some of them get mashed and it thickens up the broth.
Okay.
All right. And then, you are in line to serve at least with this amount, at least 8 big bowls like Jeff would have, or 10 or 12 bowls like a restaurant would serve you.
All right. So that's a great one, and a great one to make extra. You know, you'll have extra.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you can even use this recipe for cabbage.
If you
like red cabbage.
Oh, I don't.
Well, there's some people out there, the Polish, the Russians, the Lithuanians or whatever, good old borscht.
Yep.
It's pretty good.
Okay.
But the point is that this is a basic stock that you can use, and you can use almost every dried bean there is out there in it.
So, okay. Now, can you mix the beans, or should you only keep one type of bean with one type of bean?
Let me tell you, we had a restaurant when I was a kid.
Yes.
If it was getting low, beans were mixed.
Okay. So you could mix different beans together.
Right.
With it. Yeah.
Well, we always had one that was almost cooked and one that was cooking. And we used to use a 4-quart or 6-quart pot, one of those big industrial type pots. Mm-hmm. And the kitchen was probably 120 degrees. Who knows?
Well, now, would this be something good you could put in a slow cooker?
Yes.
So you just would have to get to the point where all your ingredients were in there and then just let it slow cook and be delicious.
Just slow cook it, yeah.
Yeah.
So the bigger the cooker, the better. Now, when we had it, and we only had it on Friday night.
At your restaurant, yep.
At the restaurant. My mother always had quart jars of it up to the register where people could buy it and take out. Now, we were only open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But Monday morning, we were open for our breakfast and for the fact that they could pick up things like this for the lunches during the week.
That's a neat concept.
It was a great concept.
One that you wouldn't think about.
That's our doorbell just went off. Yeah, it's a concept that I see restaurants probably going back to. I see them doing more of the niche services, and I see them going more back to basic foods. Not that they weren't basic to begin with and didn't have much variety, but I see vegetables coming back. And I believe that, you know, that'll be a good side effect of this. There's not many good side effects I can see out there, but this could be one of them. But we're going to have this up on our we'll have it on the website, but we'll have it on Facebook. And when Ann comes back in, I'll find out exactly when it's going up. But we're going to have one of these old recipes, and this is an old recipe. This isn't anything new, or it's just been concocted or something. This is something that's probably been around for 300 years, ever since the pilgrims and the settlers here in the eastern states found what the Indians were cooking. And the Indians actually started this.
Are you talking about your beans?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. We have guests that have just arrived, so we have the usual commotion here on WCRS. Gracie loves to greet people, you know. Yeah. So this Easter is going to be really special. If you're looking for something special to cook or something a little different, I tell you what, this is great. Your succotash recipe the other day was a big hit on the radio by putting corn cobs in it, folks. Can you believe it? Corn cobs.
It sweetens it up.
I know. But who would have
thought? Here's the other thing on this. The per bowl cost is only about 60 cents.
On your bean soup.
Right.
Wow. That is so affordable. And, you know, that is the problem right now. We are just so desperate for things that taste good and are affordable.
Well, this tastes good with crackers, without crackers. Hard rolls is even better.
Some good butter.
Mm. We're going to do a vegetable soup next week that with cornbread. Oh,
so good.
It's one of those things that you just go wonder, why haven't I had this all along?
All right. Well, that's the Vintager's recipe. We do have to discuss something else. Yesterday, we had 60 pounds of peanut butter turned in. Today, my peanut butter haul is quite a bit less. So, for tomorrow, if you are out shopping, please remember the Salvation Army. Remember, it's the Salvation Army doing the most good. We need some peanut butter right here.
Well, there's food going around, there's a sticky, sticky goo.
Peanut butter.
Well, it tastes real good, but it's so hard to chew.
Peanut butter.
Oh, that's right. People are telling me they're getting tired of hearing peanut butter. But every time they bring some peanut butter, if they bring me at least a pound and a half, you get a free Frank's Car Wash. And by the way, John Cooper over there said, Ann, could you put out the fact that the car wash is open? So if you want to get your car washed for Easter, they are open. If you'd like to bring us some peanut butter, you can get a free Frank's Deluxe Car Wash inside and out. And by the way, Not here yet, I don't think, but John Cooper told me he is getting a disinfectant that you spray inside the car and it totally disinfects your car. That's coming over there to Frank's Car Wash, so stay tuned. We'll be talking about that.
Even now, Ann, they do all the wiping down of the handles and steering wheel and everything else with the antibacterial pads.
Yes, they do. But this is going to be a new spray that John Cooper was pretty excited about. But the other thing is, I want to thank Frank's Car Wash for coming on board and helping us with this peanut butter drive. We are going for 500. I said 500 pounds of peanut butter. We got 280. I expect we're up to about 290, maybe 300. I need more peanut butter. Please bring the peanut butter, and I will just be so ecstatic, and the Salvation Army will be too. I talked to Major Jason Hughes. He looked at my haul of peanut butter today. He goes, Ann, that'll last about 3 weeks. So the need is great out there. If you can help out, we certainly would appreciate it. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. And before we go, what you got there?
When will this be up on Facebook? Monday?
Okay, by Monday. Because that invisible secretary that you have?
Yeah.
Yeah, she has to get it up there because I don't think you're going to be putting it up there, are you?
I don't think so.
Okay, so maybe by Monday we'll have that up there. And we're going to try to put your succotash recipe up there, too.
Okay.
All right. So for all of you, let's keep staying alive. Please stay socially distant. No hugging. No getting in anybody's space. And please wash your hands. Stay alive. God bless. Good night.